Welcome to this week's episode of The Nerdy Rat. We've got lots and lots of baby animal news this week. We're talking baby ratties, baby eagles, baby cows, and we're going to talk about some baby bunnies, I guess, in one of Liz's games. So also some updates on our reviews of Jessica Jones and S.H.I.E.L.D. So here we go.
Everybody, how's it going? Happy post-Easter.
That's right. Post-Easter, post-Passover.
So how you doing, Liz?
I'm doing pretty good. I laugh every week when we play the theme song because of the parakeet percussion in the background.
Someday we'll have to re-record it.
I don't know. I think it adds a little sparkle.
Add like a little techno beat to it or something.
I don't know. I think it adds a little something. It protects our copyright.
That's true. Nobody.
That's right.
Nobody will steal our theme song.
At least they won't just be able to rip it.
The cheap Nerdy Rat knockoffs out there.
That's right. That's right.
Selling forged Nerdy Rat t-shirts.
That's right. And Nerdy Rat theme songs. How dare you? How dare you steal my composition and copy my parakeets?
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to talk about first this week?
Well, let's talk about our own ratty. So you were a little reluctant to adopt Mama Pinky and Sparkles after Nova died, who was our fosters.
The only real reason is that we were already at 9.
I know. In our double critter nation, for those who might not know, which can hold 12 at max, but I mean, that's maximum.
Yeah, and we have a second half critter nation sitting next to it that's now empty.
Yeah, we were using that. That's from our rescue, Small Angels Rescue. So we were using that. And, you know, we had been housing these three fosters for a long time. And we talked last week how I really could not let go of Pinky and Sparkles because I was just too attached to them. And after breaking my heart, losing Nova, anyway. So I have been going very slow with the introduction since we did have them comfortably housed, in the second cage.
We went like 2 or 3 weeks before we even tried putting them together, right?
Yeah, because what I was doing is I would just put them in the bonding pouch with 2 or 3 of our rats at a time. Now, normally you want to do your first intros in a bathtub, but I was pairing them with gentle rats from our group at first. And also they've been living next door to each other, like inches away, smelling each other for several months at this point. So
yeah, overall it went pretty smoothly.
Yeah, they did really well in the bonding pouch and they would like climb out and play with me. And then finally we put them in the wall.
Our girl Pinky she's had a few dominant struggles with them.
Yes.
But that's really normal. And if they're not really like hurting each other, I don't want to like break them up prematurely.
Exactly.
I'd rather just let them work it out.
Work it out. Now, the problem with Pinky, and this is a problem we had with Toro back when we introduced Toro to the cage, is that Pinky out of all of our... No. Okay. So now we've got two Pinkies, by the way, if you're confused. We have our Pinky and then we have Mama Pinky, who was the foster.
Who's the new one.
She's Sparkles Mommy, so yeah, Mama Pinky. That's how we're telling them apart.
It's like the number one name for pink-eyed white rats.
Well, because of Pinky in the brain, I think.
Yeah, probably.
That's why I named mine Pinky. But so anyway, Pinky, our first one, she gets startled and scared very easily. And partly that's because Toro went after her and attacked her some when we were first doing intros. So she got maybe a little amped up with her startle reaction. And so if she gets scared, she'll like turn and attack.
I think Pinky kind of likes to think she's in charge.
Well, she does. That's the other thing. And Mama Pinky is also an alpha.
At least anytime we introduce anyone new into the cage, she would never fight with her mom, obviously.
No, but she's like, I'm the sub alpha. I'm the junior.
She's like, you got to get past me.
I'm second in command.
You gotta deal with me.
That's right.
You're going to live here.
Well, and what bothered me, too, is that not her getting startled and scared, because that I would try to work out with them. But then she was becoming a mean girl. Like, she was trapping Mama Pinky in the igloo and wouldn't let her out. And she's so funny, our first Pinky, because she puffs up to, like, 3 times her size.
She looks like a chihuahua or something, like all puffed
up. Like a potato. I don't know. Like, it's amazing how big she gets.
Yeah. And you just got to pick her up and be like, okay, calm down.
Yeah. Girl. And then she calms down immediately. But she's so funny when she puffs up. But I don't like her being a mean girl like that. So I've been working with her. But then today, baby Groot was getting a little dominant.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she and Mama Pinky were.
Well, I expect this over the next couple of weeks.
It's going to take some settling in.
But yeah, when we put them together, we cleaned the cages and had them together and rearranged everything, gave them new boxes and everything.
I was telling you earlier, I think I need to move the box on the bottom level because I was worried that two of the mean ones had trapped Mama Pinky down there and like were hiding in the box and wouldn't let her pass to get back upstairs.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if they were doing that or if she was just happy down there.
Well, I mean, whether the box is there or not, we're still going to have these behavior hiccups with them.
Yeah.
And you just got to let them work it out for the most part.
So. And I do. I try to step back, and it's only if I hear things get really out of hand that I get in there.
So how old are our babies now? Are they 3 weeks yet?
They're probably 3 weeks because we must have had them 2 weeks now. And
let's see, today
they were a week old when we got them.
Today is Tuesday? Monday the 3rd?
No, today's Tuesday, isn't it?
Tuesday. Oh, wow. It's Tuesday.
So
already.
They're a little bit. They're 2 days and 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you talk about the babies? You've been loving on them.
Well, they're still mostly hanging out, living in the hammock.
Mm-hmm.
They have been out. Like I've seen some of them get out. But they've been doing pretty good. They're eating solid food now and kind of climbing. They got a lot of energy, but they're all very sweet. Like I've been trying to handle all of them as much as I can. And Mom's real sweet too. She lets me pet. Like when she was in the hammock earlier today, I was petting her and she didn't bite or anything.
Yeah, she's surprisingly sweet and she really trusts us, I guess, because she's really comfortable with us interacting with her and her babies.
Yeah, I haven't been pulling her out of the cage as much, but I've been like trying to pet her in the cage and seems to be fine with that. She's a real gentle rat. She's not like
she's a good girl.
I'm not sure why she's so skittish. Maybe she probably just wasn't handled much.
And I think she was young too. I think she wasn't handled much.
She doesn't look like
young.
She's much older than 3 months.
No, she's a little girl. Gary, little girls.
Yeah, but they're doing well. They're going to be going to their families in another couple weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks when they're done nursing. So they've all been spoken for by adopters and mom, too. So I think some of them are going with mom.
Yeah, this is the first time we've had rats where we were fostering where they were already adopted when we got them.
So I know.
You just got to wait for them to
grow up.
Grow up.
So they grow up so quickly. We've been home in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've been feeding Mama eggs every day, pretty much.
Scrambled eggs.
Because that way she gets extra protein while she's nursing. And so.
Which is important for them. And what else was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, if you're in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area and you're interested in adopting baby ratties, Gratitude Rat Rescue was the one who pulled several moms and babies from a shelter. And I wonder if it was a situation where someone's rats got out and got out of control because they pulled a lot of moms with babies at the same time.
Yeah.
So you can contact Gratitude there in Baltimore if you're interested in baby ratties.
Yeah. Also, if you're in our area, I just got a notice earlier today from Fauquier, Virginia, where they just listed a female baby rat.
Oh.
If you're in this area, check it out.
Yeah, definitely check rescues first if you want to adopt.
Yeah. So I always get all those. Sometimes I get notifications for our own rats.
Oh, really? For the pet adoption listings?
Yeah, adoptapet.com.
And they're the ones we're fostering at time. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about a diet.
For rats. Yes, I thought it was our little education topic. I don't think we've ever talked about what foods are safe for your ratties and what are some really dangerous and toxic foods to avoid.
Yeah, I think just an overall general thing with giving rats food, like they can eat most of the things that we can eat. They also are like high sugary things are not good for them, just like it's not good for us. So you can give it to them very small amounts. They don't have a problem with chocolate, but there are some foods that are
actually poisonous.
And you want to make sure that you explicitly avoid those.
Yeah. So some of the most common ones are for avocado. They can't have any peel or pit. Because that will actually kill them. So you might want to avoid avocado altogether because if you've even gotten something from the store, like how do you know no little piece is ground up in there, you know?
Yeah.
And then do you want to do the next one? on our list. Do you see it on my outline?
We got apple seeds on here.
Yes, apple seeds can cause death.
Yeah, well, because they do have cyanide in them.
Yes.
And, like, usually people can eat them and they're fine because well, because it's encapsulated in the seed, and generally you just pass the seed out. Mm-hmm. But rats will chew through it, mm-hmm. and they'll actually, that can kill them. Yeah. So. And
then they can eat most types of cheese in moderation, but blue cheese is actually toxic because of the type of mold that makes the blue cheese. So don't eat blue cheese for your rats.
It says no dried corn.
Yeah. So I skipped that one. So no dried corn, because apparently dried corn can contain a fungus, or does contain a natural type of fungus that can cause cancer in rats. Yeah.
And also
so in moderation, it might be okay, but just be aware that over time it could cause cancer.
I would avoid a lot of the mixes you get.
Exactly.
From the pet stores. Mm-hmm. Like
the small animal mixes with the seeds and everything like that.
Yeah. We feed all of our rats the block
Teclin
2014
rat block, which you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's 14% protein, which is mm-hmm. supposed to be better for them, but anything from Teclin is usually pretty good. But like some of the mixes, especially like brands like KT are really bad about that.
Yeah. And so apparently, because the corn can cause cancer, like in moderation, dried corn is not probably going to hurt them, but you don't want to be feeding it to them every day.
Yeah. Just give them fresh corn and wash it off.
What we cook for our rats sometimes for a special treat is we'll cook corn on the cob. And this is a little hack, which I actually taught Matt and I learned it from my brother. If you wet a paper towel and wrap it around a raw ear of corn, you microwave it for only 3 minutes and then it's cooked. And so you don't, you know, it's so much easier. It is a life hack.
Right here.
That's right. On the Nerdy Rat.
You kids in college.
That's right.
That's your dinner.
Well,
right there.
And seriously, for anyone like me who likes corn on the cob, but you don't like having to like boil it or whatever, or you don't want to fire up the grill. That's a really
You can microwave anything. I microwaved mama's eggs tonight.
That's right. Yes. I taught you that as well. You can tell who's the real cook.
I would never want.
And who's not the good cook. Liz.
I would never want to microwave eggs and eat them. But
no, I've done that in the past.
They're just kind of bland, honestly.
But since I've met Matt and he's introduced me to like the proper way to cook scrambled eggs, now I'm like,
The way I cook them, it actually comes out really good.
It does.
We're like, if you.
But
like,
the way I cooked them, as you could tell, was microwave in the past.
Well, like, I don't like boiled eggs either. Like,
the hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah. Because they're just bland. There's nothing. That's why people put salt on them, because they're so bland.
Exactly. So, anyway, back to the rat. Yeah, back to the rat thing. So,
do not give them any kind of carbonated drinks, because they can't burp and they can cause their little tummies to expand.
It'd be really bad for them. It could actually probably even end up killing them. So, don't do that. And then we talked on another episode about the choking. No peanut butter and no dried bread, because they can choke and they could actually end up choking.
And that actually happened to Toro. He choked on some dried bread that he found in your.
That he found in my chair that apparently was a crumb and he had dried up. He goes, I found a treat.
Because they eat it and then it expands in their throat when it gets wet.
Yeah. So normal bread is okay, but if it's dried out, you know, that's problematic.
Yeah. And they like peanuts, but like you got to be. Yeah. Like, peanut butter is the same thing where it can, you know, like.
Right.
Their throats are so small, a little bit of it. If you want to give them it, you can give them just nuts by themselves.
Right. Because you know what? Actually, though, I read somewhere, it must have been on another website, that peanuts are not good for them because of some chemical they contain can cause sickness.
Yeah, so.
So that's more of like a long-term health prevention thing. But what is really good is raw pistachios in the shell.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
At the grocery store in America, at least, they sell unsalted ones.
Yes, get unsalted.
They just get those and they love it.
Oh, my goodness. And they're so cute, too, because they're like little nuts and then they're like little rats. And they hold them
Sometimes you have to teach them how to get into them. But once they figure it out, all of mine are experts now in opening them.
Like, and it's like enrichment and a treat at the same time, because they have to forage it out. Mm-hmm. So, and then one other thing to watch out for is poppy seeds, because that can actually kill them. So don't give them poppy seeds.
Poppy seeds are like,
I don't know. Some cookies have them. So you have to be careful if you're going to give them like sweets, you know, which again, you want to do in moderation, but never with poppy seeds.
Yeah. Because poppy seeds are like what they make opiates out of too. So
yeah, actually in humans, and I don't know this from experience, which I realize as soon as I say this, no one's going to believe me, but just because it's sounds like you're lying. But in humans, if you eat a large number of poppy seeds, you can actually test positive on a drug test.
Well, yeah, that's yeah.
Right.
And
so.
Yeah, that is true.
But they will kill rats.
Yeah, yes. Don't get it. Just avoid them. Yes. No, don't give them poppy seed buns or
exactly.
anything like that.
But some things they really like they really like bananas. I've been giving them bananas recently, and because I had some that got a little too brown, but the rats love them when they get like that.
Actually, you're supposed to eat them when they're a little brown.
But I don't like them that way.
Well, they're sweeter when
but
you
I
eat them.
I don't like them that way.
I know.
You
like
them that way.
I like them that way.
I think they taste gross that way.
But yeah, make sure don't give them unripened bananas.
Yeah, that's bad.
That can be bad for them. But ripe bananas are good, and they like that.
Yeah, so that's a good treat. What are some other good treats that we give them sometimes?
It's pistachios. Animal crackers, which we try not to give them too often because it does have a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, they do like the crunch. Now, for some reason, the crunchy animal cracker is okay. It doesn't cause choking. I guess because it's not actually bread and it doesn't expand when they
get
it moist.
Because I think it's specifically bread that's been dried out because it shrinks when it dries.
Oh, that makes sense.
Whereas
the animal cracker
is not the same kind of like it's already baked. It's not going to expand if it's dried out. So.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Science. Good for you, babe.
I like to science.
We scienced. Just like the little Mighty Mouse house, they adopted 3 new ratties.
Oh, my goodness.
And they've been
cute.
Doing like photo stories of them starting to go to business school and stuff like that. Oh, my God. It's so cute.
They're so adorable. So cute. I think we talked about them last episode.
I think some episode recently we did. But when you said scienced, because they have some really cute pictures of Wimbley going like, I scienced. So anyway.
So. Let's see. Was there anything else? Foods to avoid? Oh, onion.
Oh, yeah. Don't give them raw onion because that can... and I would not necessarily give them cooked onion either. And peppers. Any kind of peppers are really bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't give them... I would avoid
nothing
anything spicy.
Because it can make them sick, and since they can't vomit,
I know,
that's really
birds
dangerous.
Like spicy things.
Oh,
rats,
really?
as far as I don't think they do.
It's pretty bad for rats, so... And actually, if you have a cat, because we have a cat, onions and garlic are very toxic and poisonous to cats. They're lethal. So you have to be, I'm always really careful when we're cooking or something that I make sure there's no onion peel or onion on the floor or anything like that that falls. So.
Yeah, you're very.
I am.
Diligent about that.
I am. Do you remember when I grew the onion, I had grown onion in my vegetable garden? And I didn't know this about the cats, and I brought it inside the house, and I spent a lot of time hanging it up to dry.
That was a garlic, wasn't it?
It was garlic, yeah. And then I had a thought, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is toxic to cats. And I looked it up, and it was. So I had to take it all down and put it outside.
I thought you were worried about vampires.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have a vampire defense system in place. But if you have a cat, you're going to want to hang the garlic on the outside of your windows and not on the inside.
I see.
Because you don't want your cat to die. But you want the vampires.
So what happened with the eagles?
Oh, so the DC eagles laid their eggs. Hooray!
And so have they hatched yet? Or they just
No, they're sitting on them. So she just finished laying. I guess she only lays 2 eggs at a time. And she finished laying the second one. There's a video. Now, okay, look. I love the Washington, D.C. Eagle Cam watchers. But this is like a 13-minute video, and the egg doesn't show up until the 13-minute mark.
Well, you just skipped through.
I enjoyed it for a little while, but it was. I thought it was just going to be like, here's the egg, and then it kept going on and on and on. So if you just want to see the second egg, skip to the 13-minute mark, and then you'll finally see it.
Oh, it's because I saw they had the first egg there already.
Yeah, the first egg is already there. She laid them a couple days apart. So, but it made me sad. It reminded me of my little girl parakeet that I had, Mrs. Kermit, because I thought she was a boy, and then she turned out to be a girl. So I named her just Mrs. Kermit after, I just didn't want to change her name. Mm-hmm. But she used to lay eggs, unfertilized eggs, because she lived alone. But it just reminded me of my little baby girl laying her eggs, because they put their little tails up when they're in labor to try to, relieve the cramps and stuff. So my poor little baby girl. And then in some other local animal news, we really like Poplar Springs Animal Sanctuary, which is in Poolesville, Maryland.
Yeah, we've been there for some events, too.
We have.
You sponsor some of the animals there.
We do, and I love them. They are such a wonderful, they're a farm animal sanctuary. And they just recently acquired a new cow, Maisie. She was rescued from a dairy farm. That was shutting down. And dairy farms, okay, I wish I could be vegan. I wish I had that much fortitude. But the problem with dairy farms is that they have to keep the cows pregnant all the time so that they produce milk. And then they take the calves away as soon as they're born and sell them for veal.
Yeah.
So this is a poor cow who's always had her calves taken away. And they didn't realize she was pregnant when they got her from the farm. And she gave birth to a little baby calf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah, super cute. We'll post some links. I had trouble posting them. I should tell Matt this off the mic. But anyway, I was having technical problems copying the link, but we'll get that worked out off mic.
All right. Yeah, but I will help you out with that.
The little calf got sick, but so they had taken him to the vet, and they took his mom with him so that he would be comforted. But he's doing much better now, so he's going to be okay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that they had announced that he had been born. They didn't even know she was pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have some really sweet pictures of them together. They have just some videos look so of them cute. Too. Oh, they do. Yeah. Oh, I have to post links for that as well.
Looking at their, it's all just go to their Facebook page.
Yeah.
They post all that stuff there.
Yeah. That's cool. So you want to move on to nerdy topics?
Yeah, we can.
Why don't you start leading us in with Jessica Jones?
So we finished Jessica Jones. We watched all 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll talk about spoilers.
Of course.
Not a whole lot happens in the show, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
Yep.
It's really bad writing.
Yep.
For parts of it.
Yep. Total inconsistencies. Like, what really bothered me was how they characterized some of the, like Trish, for example. They set up the first half where she's in love with her boyfriend. She actually loves him. He's the best guy she's ever dated. He's a quality man. And then all of a sudden they break up. And okay, maybe she wasn't ready to get married, but the inconsistency is then all of a sudden they're like, he was a terrible person. He was.
Well, I don't think she said she was a terrible person. It was just like, oh, he was overshadowing me. It's like, I don't know. Like,
but he seemed very supportive of her.
None of the characters seem written very well.
No.
And none of them seem very consistent.
Exactly.
Like, the landlord guy.
Oh yeah.
Who's like hates Jessica Jones 1 minute.
Right.
And then her kid, she saves her
kid
and then he's instantly like
crushing on her.
Like her friend.
Yeah.
Like it was just like such a jump, and it's like, and everything that happens to a character in this show feels like it's not developed at all. It just comes out of nowhere.
That's what I was trying to say with Trish. It came out of the nowhere.
And it's like, well, like Malcolm's character, I didn't like, because I just felt like he was just
whiny
all the time. Mm-hmm. He just felt like entitled the entire time.
And that's because they really didn't write him to do anything. And all they wrote him to do was complain about how he did nothing.
He's like, I need something to do because I'm an addict.
Yeah, like every episode. It was very heavy-handed.
I gotta stay busy because I'm an addict.
Yeah, like I felt like they were so heavy-handed with every point they wanted to drive home in this series.
Yeah,
it
and like the first couple of episodes were like the whole sequence of events where like Trish and Malcolm go to confront the producer guy.
Oh yeah,
and then he like records their conversation to blackmail him. Then all of a sudden it's night.
Right.
And then Simpson shows up out of nowhere.
I think we talked about that last episode, though, on the podcast last episode.
Okay.
That's what we watched last episode.
Well, the rest of the season was
It didn't get better.
About the same, like.
Just like nonsensical stuff.
I think for the second half, like Jessica Jones' character had the same, like, I don't know, she's very unlikable.
Yeah.
And wishy-washy, like back and forth, like, oh, I'm gonna help out my mom, and then no, I'm gonna do the right thing, and then no, and then.
It just felt to me like they didn't have a consistent plan for any of the characters' growth and development in the series. Like, they didn't say we want to take them from A to B. They were just like, this episode, they'll be this way. Now they're this way. Now it was almost like they had 13 different writers who didn't consult with each other. You know, and there was no outline, and
Yeah,
just as a former teacher, I'm like, this just makes no sense.
Trish's sudden desire to be a superhero seemed to come out of nowhere, because
it seemed
like before she just wanted to be a better reporter. She wanted to be a reporter,
and she wanted to do like news TV instead of like lifestyle TV.
Yeah, and
And now, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, she's always been jealous of Jessica. I'm like, no, she wasn't. When did we ever see her jealous of Jessica?
Yeah, it's not like Jessica ever uses her powers for anything other than opening doors.
No.
It's like her great power is to open doors. Like,
seriously, yeah.
Like, oh, we just, okay, right. We just opened
this
door. But
then what bothered me, too, is they didn't even really have her doing any PI work in this series either. And like you pointed out, it wasn't like her alcoholism had any effect on her life. It was just a convenient way to
show
her
like,
drinking.
They were like, oh, you're drinking problem. It's like, yeah, they show her drinking every now and then, but they don't show any her
any
ever having any kind of consequences or like,
yeah,
you know, missing appointments or like anything that would like really impact her life negatively.
Exactly.
If you had a problem
with
alcohol.
The only good episode, spoilers, is that David Tennant guests on one as Kilgrave. And that was actually better.
That
because
was enjoyable.
It was written better because Kilgrave had some good dialogue in there and he was enjoyable to watch. But other than that one episode, it was pretty bad.
Like just the character of Jessica Jones doesn't seem to have many redeeming qualities, honestly.
But I feel like she did in the first series. It was really this
series. Yeah, well, I'm not talking about the first. I'm just talking about
just
this
season.
Series.
This
like,
season, yeah.
This season, like, she just came across as, like, not a very good person.
Well,
you
so
know?
Did Trish. So did everybody.
Well, no, I mean, nobody in the show was likable.
Well, yeah,
that was
they
part
just
of the
wrote
problem.
It. They wrote it so poorly. They had no motivation for anybody.
Yeah.
So
it's just
so inconsistent.
It wasn't as bad as Iron Fist.
No, but you know what? Actually, though, I felt like Iron Fist was mostly bad because the actor was so unlikable. But I felt like Iron Fist actually had a more consistent storyline than this season of Jessica Jones did.
Yeah. Well,
remember they had that whole really elaborately drawn out progression with the villains with his family friends, you know.
Yeah.
So but I feel like that was actually pretty tight writing
I think kind of the problem, although with like Danny Rand, like the writing for his character
because
he never had any kind of like believable reaction to anything.
Exactly. Like he wasn't even written well as a spoiled rich kid or as a Zen master, but at least there was like an overarching storyline to the season, whereas for this I didn't feel like there was a storyline.
I mean, there was, it's just you didn't really care much because none of the characters were particularly...
Well,
there's a whole story with Jerry and her saga of being diagnosed with ALS and then...
Oh, yeah,
getting
taken
conned.
Advantage of. But you're right, we don't care about it.
But you didn't even think about it because you didn't care about it.
Exactly.
Because you didn't like any of those characters.
Exactly.
And you're not invested in any of them, so...
I know.
It's hard to care. Yeah.
Right. And then I thought they really changed Malcolm's character too at the very end because he was always such a straight shooter in season one and even in the beginning of this season. And he's like harassing Jessica to do the right thing all the time. And then at the end, when Jerry asks him to do something illegal, he's like, when do we start?
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Oh, really, Malcolm? Now you're fine with that? Okay.
His just like entitlement throughout the entire series. Like he just walked around like he was entitled to everything from people.
Yeah, it was written very badly. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, why don't we move on to something better? I mean, do you have anything final thoughts on Jessica Jones?
I mean, I watched it. Yeah. If they make another one, I'm sure I'll watch it too. Just because I'm
a
sucker for Marvel.
Yeah, me too.
If you want a Marvel TV show to watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. So why don't we talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because we've been watching this current season of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. We're past the mid-season finale now.
Yes.
So they're back.
They're back on Earth.
Back in the current time.
Current time on Earth. Yes.
I think overall it's been pretty good. I think the episodes have been written pretty well.
Really good. Yeah.
Like the
consistent
last one with
storyline
was really good.
Yeah. The one before this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the spoilers. So Fitz slips back into his persona of the Frameworks doctor, who is the evil villain.
Yeah, but they kind of have you thinking the whole episode that it's one of the fear creatures.
The fear dimension.
And it turns out it's Fitz all along.
It was really, really good. It was so good. And see, this is something I like once they got past that terrible season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that they're being consistent with the storyline, even from season to season, like referring back to the Framework. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, they've been constantly, like, you know, Deathlok showed up again for an episode. And
yeah.
They, you know, they keep referring back to
stuff. Yeah, and I like
stuff.
That.
It's
but
stuff
no,
that, like, we forgot about, you know.
Exactly.
It's been so
like
long since we've seen
now.
The first season.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what happened in the first season.
No, I just mostly remember how shocked I was that Ward betrayed everybody and turned out to be evil.
Yeah.
I still hope they bring him back sometime. I was hoping
they'd
bring him back.
They keep finding ways to bring him back, like in the framework, you know?
Yeah, but I hope he comes back for real. But
I really thought they were going to pull people out of the framework to bring him back.
I did too. I really did. But anyway, yeah, I like what they're doing with the second half of the season because they're incorporating more with Hydra. And
well, they're just really good at making characters that you actually care about.
Yeah.
That are interesting.
That are complex. You know, like, they have positives and negatives and they're believable characters. Like, I actually am liking the Hale character a lot more than I did. At first, I just thought she was like an a-hole, but now I'm like, oh, she's actually a little bit complex, and I really like getting to see like the layers of her.
We're
still wondering what's going to happen, of course, but
yeah. And it's just it's a big night and day difference between the two shows. Mm-hmm. like even characters that like you're not supposed to like, you end up liking because of how well they're written.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot to do with Joss Whedon being producer, because Buffy was very much like that, too.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to remind us, there was that horrible season of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
where it was good up to the halfway point, and then it just tanked for the second half of the season.
I think that's when he was working on Avengers, actually.
Maybe. Because it was like they didn't even have an outline
because
that they were
like,
working from at that point.
They were kind of working him to death at that point because he was doing... He did the first Avengers.
Right.
And then immediately after, he like went right into shooting the second Avengers. Mm. And he like...
He was trying to do S.H.I.E.L.D. at the same time.
Yeah, and he was a producer on S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think he was just like exhausted at that point. So he probably wasn't involved as much.
And something happened with the writers that season. It was really clear that something had happened because the up to mid season was great. It was the one where they were trying to send Ward to have him embody the alien from the other planet, and like up to the halfway point it was great, and then it tanked. But what I was gonna try to make as a point was that S.H.I.E.L.D. bounced back from that horror, so I'm hoping Jessica Jones can bounce back from it this horrible season as well, because the actors are great. I love the actors, and I think the season one was great, so I'm hoping maybe
Defenders
it'll get better
was pretty
again.
Good even if it was really short.
Yeah, Defenders was good. So you know, if they get a new team working on the next season, maybe it'll be better.
We'll watch it even if
it's bad. Oh, we will. Although, you know, I was looking at Hulu, and there's a whole bunch that we haven't watched yet. Like, we didn't watch The Inhumans. We didn't watch Agent Carter yet.
Well, the Inhumans was apparently terrible.
I know, because it was by the Danny Rand.
It looked really bad, though.
But I'm just pointing out, we haven't watched everything that Marvel dangles in front of us. We didn't watch The Runaways, but that's mostly because I was worried it was going to be too intense for me, because I read the comics, and I loved the comics, but it's a very intense storyline.
Yeah, that's also X-Men, though, so... Although Legion was really good.
Runaways is an X-Men.
Isn't it?
No.
I thought they were children of...
No, they're children of satanic cult members.
Who produced The Runaways?
I don't know who produced The Runaways.
Because I thought it was owned by Fox because it was under the umbrella of X-Men.
I don't know. I don't know who did Runaways, actually. Was it not original to Hulu? I thought it was a Hulu original.
I'm not sure. I haven't really looked into it much. Let's see.
But anyway, if you're not familiar with The Runaways, so the comic series, it's kids who think their parents are just so normal and best friends, and then it turns out their parents are like satanic supervillains who sacrifice children and stuff like that, and it's horrible. So the kids run away from their parents, hence the term runaways, and they all end up having like different powers and stuff, and they form their own little
superhero
unit.
It was ABC. I don't know why I thought it was under the X-Men
umbrella.
Oh,
really? It was ABC? Oh.
Yeah, so it is Disney.
Okay, so it might be good.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
You check it out and tell me if it's too intense or not.
Oh, I think that's got James Marsters in that too?
I don't know, because I didn't.
Yeah, he is.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
He played Spike in Buffy. So.
Oh, okay. So you might definitely like that.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out. And I want to watch Agent Carter. That's not too interesting.
Yeah,
enough,
I don't
but
really.
I want to watch it.
I don't know. I'm just kind of over the World War II.
Yeah,
Marvel
I understand
setting.
That. Like, I understand
I
that.
Know.
Yeah,
it's like I know nothing can happen that's like interesting because it's all happened in the past.
Yeah,
same reason I didn't like Enterprise. Like,
yeah, I understand. So, anyway, you want to talk about switching away from TV?
So yeah, so I played a lot more Subnautica since our last show.
Yeah,
I've played through the main game once, and that took about 50 hours.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm playing through it on the hardcore mode, which is...
And so what's different with hardcore?
So hardcore, you can't save. Mm-hmm. If you, the only option to save quits you out of the game.
Oh.
And then if you die, it ends the game and deletes your save file.
Oh, my God.
So
it's, that's
you
mean.
Get, you only get one life.
Oh, wow. You, so that's really mean.
It's actually not that hard because it really, like, dying in that game is usually your own fault. Like, mm-hmm. you're never gonna die like
by
something unfair. Like,
you.
The couple times I died, I either was like running through fire, not paying attention, mm-hmm. or I got lost in a wreck
okay.
and then drowned.
Okay.
But I'm about 6 hours into my hardcore playthrough, and I think I might be able to finish it on this one. But
oh, that's cool.
I gotta say, I really like the game. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
So remind people who maybe didn't listen to our other episode what Subnautica is.
It's an underwater survival game.
Yeah.
Not
so you have
quite
like a little
like,
submarine.
Not quite like Minecraft, but I would say kind of more like in the vein of like some of the other newer survival games.
Uh-huh.
It's all underwater. You can
yeah.
build bases and stuff. You gotta you gotta find all these blueprints to unlock the different things that you mm-hmm. can build. You build an underwater base and you power it and all this stuff. And
yeah.
it's just really pretty game. It's like just cool.
It
just
is
kinda,
pretty. I like watching
just,
it over your shoulder.
Just swim around or scoot around your little little vehicle that you get.
Yeah.
And then you get a sub at one point.
Yeah.
You get this prawn suit, which is like this giant robot suit.
Oh, that's cool.
And but unlike a lot of survival games, it's got like an actual story to it. And
yeah.
it's done really well because it's never like in your like forcing you to go do it.
Right.
If you just want to like build your base and
do your own free play.
And do your own whatever.
Yeah.
But it's there whenever you're ready to look into it. And there's a lot of background
I like that.
And story too. Because like at first I was like, when I first started playing it, I was like, why did this ship have all this underwater equipment? And then you find out through reading the logs and stuff that they were going to rescue
oh.
a previous ship that had
oh,
crashed.
Cool. Oh,
and they
neat.
Had brought all this gear with them because they knew it was a water planet. And
oh.
they were trying to land when they were shot down.
See, that's pretty cool.
And
I like
then,
that.
Yeah, and then like at one point, like, okay, spoilers. If you
yes,
haven't played,
spoilers.
If you're interested in the game, I would say just go play it and don't
yes. don't listen
don't
to the
listen
rest
to
of this
anything
podcast.
Else about it. Just go play it blind because
yes.
it's really best blind because it's like
yeah.
one of those things where it's like you if you think you know the answer to something
mm-hmm.
you do because it's very logical like
yeah.
you know
yeah.
it's like at one point I was like you know I bet there's a bunch of stuff on the crashed ship I bet I
uh-huh.
need to go there and that's exactly what I was supposed to do
yeah that's
at
cool.
that point in the game
that's
and
cool.
There's a lot of like lore and stuff to it that you can read if you want to, but it's not like there's not a bunch of cutscenes
right.
to watch where it like
right.
forces information down your throat.
Oh,
but
that's cool. That's really cool.
It's a lot of fun. It's
yeah. See, I would like a game like that that had a storyline to it. Like we were talking about Slime Ranchers a couple of podcasts ago, and that's kind of what I wish they had done with Slime Rancher is give a storyline to it like that.
Yeah, a lot of these games, they're good at that element, and they never either a story is added kind of last second
mm-hmm.
as like an afterthought, and it's
right.
not very good.
Right.
Where I think this was kind of added towards the end of development for this game. I never played it in the
uh-huh.
beta, but that's what
oh,
I've heard from
okay.
some other people that
okay.
played the beta. But it's
right.
it's really well done. It's
yeah.
It's very interesting and it's very engaging.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never like forced down your throat,
yeah.
which I like.
That's cool. Well, speaking of underwater games, I had a while ago discovered Fishdom, which is another one that you can either play as an app on your phone or through Facebook. And it's by the same people who make Gardenscapes and Homescapes, which I love. And it's an underwater match three game. But the awesome part is you get to build your own little aquarium as you earn money from beating the levels.
So it's like the Subnautica of puzzle
in a way.
Of match three
in
games.
In a way. Although it's more like an aquarium of match three games. I mean, it's not like, you
well,
know, you have to survive or
I've got an
like
aquarium
that.
In Subnautica.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then it is, maybe. But there are little things, like you were talking about that little ship, and there's like a little crab who comes into the game sometimes as a special event, and he has a bathyscope, which I think might be the little ship that you're describing, because it is just like a tiny little, it's almost like a submarine, but not quite.
Yeah, it's called a sea moth in Subnautica.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like, it's
But you can beat like special levels to repair his bathyscope. And I was enjoying. So you get multiple aquariums you can earn, and then you buy fish for your aquarium just with the in-game money. You don't have to spend real money, and you can buy decorations, you know, and you get so many points. And when you've leveled your aquarium up past a certain point level, you unlock another one. And they were having an Easter event, so I was earning Easter eggs, and I got Easter decorations. So I got little bunnies and Easter eggs and carrots and things now hopping around my aquarium.
So you have an Easter aquarium?
I do. And actually what I've been doing is I've kind of managed to earn a new aquarium for each of the holiday events, because they had a Christmas one. They had a Valentine's Day one, and this is now the Easter one. So I've been putting on, because I think the problem is if you put your decorations away back in your inventory, you're going to lose the points for your aquarium.
Oh.
So you kind of have to keep them out. Oh, so I don't want to have like all the holidays jumbled in one aquarium. So
yeah, that could end up looking like a mess. Somebody's house that's too lazy to take decorations down.
Exactly. So yeah. That's what we've got going on. And then did you want to talk about the magic glass?
The Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
So we finally taught you how to play Magic.
Yes. Now I know how to play Magic. What do you think of it as a new person? I like it. Now, I used to play Star Trek The Next Generation customizable card game. Yep. So I'm familiar with the customizable card game format. So I do like it. I'm surprised kind of how much I like it. And I didn't think I would be able to understand it. Now, tell them what you did to make it easy to teach me.
So what I did was I just built two decks, two 40 card decks. Basically, I built two dual decks. They sell a product called dual decks, but those decks aren't very good. They usually come with garbage cards. So I just took some cards that I thought were like iconic. I made a green deck and a white deck.
Mm-hmm.
And the white deck had like Sarah Angels and Swords to Plowshares. And, you know, a lot of the cards that I think of as iconic for white when I first started playing. And then I made a green deck.
Yeah.
And like Giant Growth in it. And
some of
my favorite, like the Elvish Archers and Albino Trolls.
What was it called? A worm?
Yeah. I had never really played that worm before.
He's powerful. I like him.
Yeah, I put Forces of Nature in there, and I ended up taking them out because that card's really terrible, even though it was from my childhood. It's one of the first.
Now, remind me what Forces of Nature does.
So Force of Nature was the 8/8 that cost 6, but you had to pay 4 every turn when he was out or he would do damage to you.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I know you had him in your hand and you were never able to play him at least one game. And I had two in my hand one game and never got to play him just because I never had the mana out to really support him.
Yeah.
I just realized that card's really bad. But I mean, when I played him, I was 15.
Yeah.
And and there was only 4 sets of Magic that had been released.
Yeah.
So.
It's understandable.
But yeah, so I did that, and we just played each other with those decks.
And so we've played a couple of times, so I'm starting to learn it. Because I have to now, it's like, because I'm new, I have to read every card so I can understand what it does.
And you know, that's any, like, when I start playing Standard again with my friends, it's going to be like that for me too, because I'm going to be playing against cards I haven't seen before.
Exactly.
And anytime you take a break from Magic and come back, your first couple of games against a new deck, it's always going to be, let me read that card. And then like you read it, but then you still don't understand the full implications of how it can be played until they play it and they go, okay, I'm going to do this with it. And you go,
exactly.
Oh, you can do that with it? It's like, yes. And it's like, I didn't think about that.
Even just with our two decks, and I've played now white once, I think, and green 2 or 3 times. So even with that little amount of playtime, like, I'm still learning little nuances as cards. And I'm like,
I remember the first time I played against a green deck. I didn't block a character, and then after I declared my blockers, he cast two giant growths on this creature I hadn't blocked and killed me.
Oh, no.
I was like, you can do that? And he's like, yeah, you can do that.
So the timing of when you play stuff, I can tell there's a lot to learn, but so far it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of reading, and, mm-hmm. and there's a few advanced rules that you sometimes you have to look up the ruling on the card to find out if how mm-hmm. it specifically exactly. is supposed to work, because sometimes it's not 100% clear, right. and you got to go to like judges and see what they've said mm-hmm. about it. But.
Well, and that's part of the reason why I was a little nervous about learning how to play, because I was saying to Matt, I'm like, I just don't have that much room in my brain anymore. I'm like, I'm old. I have other hobbies. Like, I don't really know if I have the patience to learn all the nuances and gameplay.
I mean, there's definitely a lot that you can get into to learn about it if you want to.
Right. But it's nice that I don't have to, because like I was even just having fun just playing with the decks that you made, you know, that I didn't even make.
And so what I did for our next step, I bought two.
Next step learning in my apprenticeship.
So I ordered two of the deck builders toolkits, which if you're not familiar with Magic, it's basically a box that comes with a bunch of like a stack of like 100 or something random commons and uncommons, and then I think 4 booster packs from recent series. And you basically the idea is you take all those cards and then you build the best deck you can out of it, and then we play each other. Mm-hmm. So that way you can learn kind of like deck construction,
deck building and stuff. Yeah, try different things.
It's basically similar to a sealed tournament. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're gonna do that next. So
yeah, we'll try that next.
You know, and it's funny, my friend gave me that idea because he said when he got back into Magic most recently, mm-hmm. he was at a dinner party and they handed out these kits to everybody and had them do that.
That's a cool group of friends.
Yeah.
Wow. You could tell we're nerds because, oh my gosh, I'm like, that's the most awesome dinner party idea ever.
Yeah. I know a lot of my friends are like into board games now too, like the ones back home and stuff.
I am. Oh, your friends back home in Florida though?
They've been talking about it a lot, and I'm like, I don't know.
You're not as big into board games as I am.
I'm not against board games. It's
just don't like them like I do.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like, oh, I need to play some board game action.
Yeah.
You know, like I am with Magic or something mm-hmm. like that.
But see, I like the board games.
I'm mildly OCD too, so like when I get into something, I like to learn everything I can about it.
Well, and maybe you don't like the random element of board games because it is a lot less control in a board game.
Yeah, it
than
is.
Than in a Magic.
It's a lot less skill and more.
Exactly. More.
It's the reason I don't like Mario Party, and we've never played it since that one time we played it.
So Mario Party is one of my favorite games from Nintendo 64 days, and I was so excited to get Matt to play it with me one time, and he freaked out because if you've never played Mario Party, what happens is that it doesn't really matter how well you do in the game because random crap is going to happen that completely upends who's in front and who's in the back. Like somebody could just land on a space that gives them a star for no reason, and then they're in the lead.
Somebody just comes along and steals all your stars.
Exactly. Somebody steals all your stars, or Bowser tramples you and takes all your coins, and it's just like
it doesn't. Whoever had the most luck towards the end of the game wins.
It's all about luck. But it's really fun to me because I like playing the little mini games and I like all the little characters. And like, I just think it's fun. I like board games. So I like going around the board and then I like playing the little mini games. And then I'm not always that good at the mini games. So I kind of like the random element that it doesn't matter if you're good at mini games or not, because that might not mean that you're going to win.
Yeah, that's kind of the spirit of most board games.
Yeah, exactly. It's that there's enough luck and chance involved that you don't have to be the most skilled person in the room.
And when you have a high amount of randomization too, it makes like if you lose you don't feel as bad.
Exactly.
Because it's like, it's bad luck.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like, oh, I'm just bad.
Exactly. You don't have to judge yourself.
I know you're unlucky, so.
But you were kind of mad at the game though, so it did really work in your favor that it was random. He's never played with me again.
I don't like games with high randomization.
Yeah.
Like that,
well, Mario Party has an extremely high level, I will say. More so than most.
Yeah, it just feels like you have no influence over.
Well, you really don't. You really don't. And so, yeah, I do understand your feelings with that.
Because I'm the kind of person that's like, when I play something, I want to get better at it.
And Mario Party. But see, I think that's the spirit of Mario Party. It's not to get better at it. It's just to have fun playing with your friends.
Yeah.
It's just to have fun hanging out in a room with people playing. Like, that's the spirit of it.
Yeah, I think I would like that more in, like, if it was, like, a board game. Because at least with board game, you're, like, hanging out with your friends and
Mario
talking
Party
to people.
Mario Party is a board game.
Well, yeah, but it was just you and me.
Well, yeah, it was just the two of us. If we had two more people, it's a lot more fun, and you don't care so much if somebody gets upended or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because then you aren't just hanging out and playing while you hang out. So,
I think that's all we got.
I think that's
that's for the show.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, check out our Etsy shop. You can get your very own bonding pouch made by moi or some hammocks for your ratties.
Yep. And
is that
if you like our podcast, feel free to check out one of our charities. Small Angels Rescue is a Frederick County MD-based 501c3 nonprofit, no-kill, all-volunteer organization dedicated to rescuing and rehoming gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, and rats.
And rats. Our favorite, and we foster for them, of course. Yeah. And you can also donate, but Matt has to set it up first, but you can also donate to Matt's Extra Life page, mm-hmm. which is something that gamers do. They stream for 24 hours, and you sponsor them, and it benefits our local children's hospital.
Yep.
So I'm going to get on Matt to set his account up for this year, so you can donate to that.
Actually, yeah, I need to get on that. It's like 4 or 5 months away from this journey.
Exactly. And then people could donate now if they want to. But all right. Anyway.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.